Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I advise you by memo, DOR has advised us we need to modify the ordinance y'all adopted for the sales tax referendum, because the county had it. You have an existing half cent, you're going to add a cent. In their view, it has to be worded as not one half, but plus one half, but one. So we have done a draft. It doesn't change anything material about what you proposed. If the voters approve it in November, that half cent will be added. It'll be a 1 cent, not 2 half cents. If it don't approve it, the half cent you have now will stay till its expiration.
Now, I know that on its face, this doesn't seem like the opening act of an operatic catastrophe in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. I know, because it's just, you know, former judge and now county attorney Tom Danheiser explaining to the board that the Department of Revenue in the state of Florida has looked at the proposed referendum. This is the one that would impose a one half percent sales tax for infrastructure, for transportation, for the county. And remember, the deal was we're going to have a 0.5% increase in sales tax for local option sales tax for infrastructure to improve roads. And our deal is that if that passes, we have already pre-approved to put impact fees on new construction, right? Because the people who are in favor of impact fees says you're not going to get the sales tax unless you do impact fees. The board who wanted to do sales tax and not particularly do impact fees said, we'll do you a horse swapping deal. If you get us the income tax, or if you get us the income tax, if you get us the local option sales tax, we'll give you impact fees. It's done. It's already pre-approved. So if the county approves the sales tax, then the impact fees go into effect. Okay. Tom Danheiser, the attorney, he's not saying anything significant. He's just saying the wording on the ballot needs to say 1%, because you're adding the existing 0.5% to a new 0.5%. You're making a total of 1%. And apparently DOR thought that it would be misleading if you simply said 0.5%, because that makes it seem like you're not adding anything new, and you definitely are adding something new. That's it. That's all this is. This is a clerical type thing, okay? But have no fear. James Calkins is near.
Say the citizens decide they're going to vote for this and vote for the sales tax and the impact tax. Let's say they vote for that, okay? And the board decides to implement that. A new board or the same board, the next meeting, add on the agenda to repeal the impact tax. Is that allowed?
I'm always glad to answer hypothetical questions. Of course, I'm open other hours for hypothetical questions too.
I know this might be just a teeny bit inside baseball, but I was dying, because Let me translate for Judge Danheiser. Sure, James, if you want to ask me here in this public forum about a squirrely political hypothetical situation, I can answer you that. Of course, you know, you could always come to me before the meeting and ask me. You don't have to just spring this in the public meeting for whatever purpose you're trying to accomplish. But what Calkins wants to know, and it'll make sense here in a second, is, okay, so let's say the voters approve the local option sales tax, which puts the impact fees into place. The next meeting in November, can the board just vote to undo the impact fees? And the answer is, well, of course, because a board can always change its mind. If 3 out of the 5 members decide to change their mind, they can change their mind. So the answer is, yeah, of course, like, duh, that's just in the nature of it. In fact, it's illegal for a board to try to prevent a future board from doing something because that's the sovereignty of the now interfering with the sovereignty of the future. And so, of course, they can do that.
Can county commissioners reverse ordinances? Of course, y'all do it. Commissioners all over the country do that all the time. But after you've made a representation, that would be a policy decision if you want to modify that. But that's majority rules on ordinances.
So basically, it's non-binding.
What do you mean, Willis? What do you mean non-binding? The vote of the board is binding up to the point where the vote of the board changes. I don't know what you mean by non-binding, unless you mean, well, it's not written in stone. Well, no laws are written in stone. You know, they're always subject to the changes of future boards. So what do you mean non-binding?
You have said,
referendum.
You have passed a law until you change the law that the effective date of the impact fee, which isn't the subject of what I've got on the agenda, that the effective...
It's just a nice way of saying you're still not talking about the item I'm talking about here, but okay.
That the effective date of the impact fee is if the sales tax referendum passes.
It's done.
Can you change the impact fee ordinance? You can change any ordinance you have on the books.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is in the basic machinery of government. He's asking him whether government works a certain way, as in, can you vote for something and then unvote that thing? And the answer is dur. In other words, by that definition, nothing is binding. Every vote of the board is non-binding by that definition.
Can we put on there, on the language, that it's non-binding? Because that's what it is.
No, you the board, again, the board voted a meeting or two ago, whenever it was, time flies, which is the law of the county, that adopted an impact fee ordinance. In that law, the commission passed, it says the effective date is when the sales tax, if the sales tax gets approved. So that's not a non-binding, that would be the effective date. If the voters do not approve the sales tax, the impact fee ordinance does not go into effect. That's the law the board passed.
It actually is binding. I mean, it's the most bindingest thing the board can do because there's no more binding thing that they can do. It's as binding as it can be. It's as, you know, it's always open to being, you know, reversed later, but it's not like there's some super law you can pass that's not open to being changed later.
So it's not a straw ballot where you're looking for an opinion. If the voters' vote makes a decision, it's not just not asking for their opinion.
But their decision can be reversed if the board decides to...
I'm not sure. Perhaps
repeal the impact, because they've done that before. There was this board has repealed that tax about 2 or 3 times in the past. They voted for it. It was in effect.
There's no reason to argue with me.
I'm not arguing with you.
But it has nothing to do with this advertisement. This is just complying with DOR. The ordinance y'all have adopted, you adopted.
Yeah, I don't know why you're bickering with me over this definition of binding that you seem to have in your head of some mythical form of legislation that can't be repealed at some future date by a change of the mind of the legislature, but okay.
Whether you can repeal an impact fee ordinance once it goes into effect, of course you can. You can modify it.
Yeah, again, it's like, once you understand what a county commission does and how it operates and what are its powers, yeah, that's duh.
I appreciate the answer to the question. I think this was a terrible idea, absolutely terrible idea, to tie together a half-cent sales tax with an impact tax, and then the voters could end up voting for that, and then the next board could come in and repeal the impact tax, and then the voters just got hosed. I think this is a hosing of the voters issue. I think it's terrible.
Well, he does have a flair for expression.
I think this is a hosing of the voters issue.
Yeah, I got a file in my file cabinet. And in the file cabinet, we got some different files here. And we got, you know, we got a treating right of the voters. And we got a mistreating of the voters. And we got a lying to the voters file. And then right in the back, I got one that's bright blue. It's a hosing of the voters kind of thing. Is things that go in that file. So got to be sure that we don't get any of the hosing of the voters issues in that file from stuff we do.
I think this is a hosing of the voters issue.
Yeah, that's an important thing to avoid.
I was against it last time. I'm going to be against it this time, and I advise everybody in the public to vote it down when it comes to a vote because it's bad for this county, and we are taxed enough already.
So what I thought was interesting about this conversation wasn't so much the phraseology of the voters getting hosed or not, which is, you know, I suppose if you want to use that as your litmus test whether something's good or not, it's an important line not to cross.
Voters just got hosed.
But instead of that, what I was noticing is how the premise of his argument was that people shouldn't vote for the local option sales tax, assuming that therefore there's going to be an impact fee imposed, which there will be because they already voted for it because that's done, on the idea that, well, the county can just reverse its opinion and undo the impact. These nefarious county commissioners that I work for up here, you know, these untrustworthy fellows who have equal votes as I do, that they would somehow, you know, could or would change their mind. And therefore, we should warn people that local option sales tax is not anything permanent, that it can always be that the impact fee, sorry, is not permanent and that can be undone. And this argument that it's non-binding because it can be reversed, which, again, by that definition, everything the county commission does is non-binding, so it wouldn't be special. It's almost like we need to go into the county code and every single line of ordinance needs to carry with it a warning sticker or asterisk says, oh, by the way, though, this is non-binding because the board could change its mind. I don't know. It's like the things that he thinks the board does fall into different categories. Like, you know, this one here, this one's binding. This one over here is double binding. This one over here is super secret top probation, don't tell anybody binding. I mean, I don't know what his idea is here except that he just hates these taxes, and anything he can do to argue against the taxes is, which is perfectly within his right. I just think it's a funny way to argue for a legislator. It's 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes. You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Master made me this collar. He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel!
But probably more so than that is the deferred maintenance in parks and community centers analysis. That's something we've just ignored for so long. And to at least have a starting point of where are we? And the number is probably going to be astronomical, I'm afraid, of what we're going to find. But I think it's money well invested to find out where we are with those, with all of our community centers, parks, things of that nature. So I want to thank the mayor for that. And, you know, if we don't spend this money, I guess we have to give back to the federal government. And the last thing I want to do is give Congress any money to spend. I think it's much better spent at the local level. So I'm very happy that we have this money to spend on these projects.
You know, this is Charles Baer, city council member in Pensacola. Charles Baer at the most recent city council meeting talking about a $100,000 shifting of funds within the American Rescue Plan funds that the city is working with. Part of the issue here is that they have to commit all of these funds to projects. They have to be what's called encumbered by the end of the year. Otherwise, they go back to the federal government. As Charles Baer says, I'd rather we spend them than they spend them. I don't know. You could have an argument about it's going to, you know, reduce the federal deficit by $100,000. Sorry, just saying it out loud. It's hard to say with a straight face. Also, the significance of $100,000 to the federal government isn't okay. Times 100,000 is a trillion. No, not even. Is that right? Times a million is a billion. No, it's a billion. It doesn't even work. I got to think through that, which way that is. Million, trillion. Anyway, it's insignificant in the grand scheme of federal budgeting. I mean, it's not even a comma. It's nothing. But anyway, the good thing about this is that they're spending money to figure out where are the parks. Which parks need maintenance? How much maintenance? It's something that, you know, it's kind of D.C. Reeves' approach to governance, which is good. It's the way it should always be. I've been saying for years, and I'm not the only one, just, you know, been on this bandwagon for years, that if you pass something where you spend money, you know, we're going to pave this road, we're going to dig this ditch, we're going to put in this playground equipment, we're going to build this building, I don't care what it is, it should always come with at least two basic pieces of information. Maybe three. One is the upfront cost. Number two is the annual maintenance. And then number three is how much do we need to put away on an ongoing basis to replace it eventually when it isn't usable anymore. Whether you're talking about the Bob Sykes Bridge or the Perdido Key Bridge or anything else, everything should come with those basic numbers so that we don't just buy a piece of playground equipment and say, woohoo, we spent $300,000. Yes, they cost that much. The cheap ones cost that much these days. And you know, we don't think about the $10,000 or $20,000 a year that it just costs to maintain that on average, and then the replacement cost if we ever want to have that thing in perpetuity. And we just don't think about it that way. And so the city, you know, DC Reeves is now discovering that a lot of infrastructure has not been maintained properly. And so, you know, that deferred maintenance means somebody's got to pay at some point, or we start losing stuff like the Malcolm Young Gym, you know, and the park. Over on Bay Bluffs, you know, we start losing stuff because we didn't take care of it properly. So that's what this is meant to do, is take a survey of all of the parks and figure out, well, what is our maintenance needs and what's a high priority and what's a medium priority and what's a low priority? How much do these things cost? And can we start making some adult decisions about funding our very, very high number of parks that we have in the city of Pensacola? 528 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Arizona State Senate has now repealed the Civil War era abortion ban. Two Republicans joined with Democrats to pass the proposal. That bill now heads to their governor's desk to be signed. President Biden preparing to meet with the families of police officers that were shot and killed in the line of duty in North Carolina this week. The four officers were killed attempting to serve a warrant in Charlotte on Monday. Another four officers were shot and injured. President Biden will be in North Carolina Thursday. He's expected to meet with the families then. And unlawful assembly has now been declared on the campus of UCLA. Violence erupting overnight there between pro-Palestinian protesters who have an encampment an encampment on campus there and counter protesters overnight. Protesters apparently were hit with projectiles, fireworks, tear gas, and pepper spray. About a dozen injuries reported. Police declared the pro-Palestinian camp an unlawful assembly last night. Currently, I believe police are at a standoff with the protesters who are refusing to leave.
Yeah, it's the. It reminds me of the Chaz. You remember the Chaz? The Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle.
Oh, where, yeah.
You know, they had Absolutely, created this place yeah. where they weren't going to be ruled by any outside law enforcement or anything. That's what it feels like a lot of these campus protests are doing. I don't know if you've seen some of them, but they have metal barricades up in defense of their. They've created little mini bivouacs or something. I mean, it's bizarre. They've got, in some places, they got plywood and things put up to defend them like walls against the incoming police or Israelis or whatever they think they're doing. It's super bizarre. But again, to me, it's following through on the test run of the, the super peaceful George Floyd protests. This is just lesson learned. Let's put it on college campuses now. So thanks for the update, David.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A large group of anti-Israel protesters on the campus of UCLA. They are loud, have been chanting pro-Palestinian slogans. There's a heavy police presence, including members of the LAPD and California Highway Patrol. With that status, so the standoff is changing. The LAPD and riot gear moving in right now to break up and clear out the encampment. At least one flashbang was heard. That was earlier this morning. Not connected to this latest attempt to remove those protesters. Quiet this morning at Columbia University, but in New York City's Greenwich Village neighborhood, protests last night at New York University, while more than a dozen arrests and protests taking place at Fordham University in Lincoln Center. Donald Trump's criminal trial resumes later this morning, held rallies in Wisconsin and Michigan yesterday, while President Biden will travel to North Carolina today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 69 degrees in Pensacola this morning. With book challenges not slowing down in Florida school districts, Santa Rosa County schools are revising their media policy. During last month's board meeting, the school approved revisions that they say will make that process more streamlined.
Let's say one individual has five pending book objections. Instead of requiring them to go through five different meetings, five different committee meetings, five different board hearings, we put some language in there that, if it's appropriate, to consolidate that so that that individual doesn't have to go through five separate proceedings. It can, but the purpose of that was put in there was really for convenience and efficiency.
That from Board Attorney Terry Harmon. Previously, complaints and book challenges would be filed to individual school principals. Now those objections will be submitted to the district's library media staff using the Florida Department of Education's standard objection form. Well, temperatures are on their way up, and an important reminder, the leading cause of non-crash vehicle-related deaths for kids is heat stroke from being left in a hot car. Highway safety specialist Laura Dunn says even at 60 degrees outside, a child's body temperature can rise to 107 or higher.
Children have a lesser ability to regulate their thermoregulatory system. They're more at risk for heat stroke than adults.
Parents are reminded to stop, look, and lock to avoid those tragic preventable deaths. Florida's had at least 117 child hot car deaths since 1990. Members of the Senate Judiciary Committee speaking out today about the pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses. Senator Rick Scott says Floridians are rethinking the safety of their kids at schools.
I've talked to some individuals in my state. They're at these schools, and they've been for months now scared to death for their safety.
He says the federal government needs to stop funding schools that allow the violent anti-Israel protests. Florida is at the bottom of a national list when it comes to teacher pay. We learn more from News Radio's Joe Ford.
That's from the largest teachers union in the country, the National Education Association, as they released its newest data on salaries this week. They put Florida in 50th place in the nation for the average teacher salary at just over $53,000. The state does fare a little bit better in terms of the average starting salary at just over $47,000, good for 16th in the country. The number one spot overall went to California, where teachers make more than $95,000. During Florida's last legislative session, a House bill aimed at raising the base salary for teachers to $65,000 quickly stalled out. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Thank you very much, Joe. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be under a dense fog advisory for the morning hours. Fog should clear up by late morning, high near 81 degrees, partly sunny skies. As we go overnight tonight, we will have mostly cloudy skies, low near 68. For Friday, high near 82, partly sunny, and Friday night temperatures dropping near 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
69 in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, 67 in Milton. 5:35 at News Radio Pensacola, your next news at 6.
Murray with your money now. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said it is unlikely that the central bank will hike interest rates at its June meeting. The comment spurred a rally for the three major averages, with the Dow surging more than 500 points in its session high. Central bank policymakers also kept interest rates steady because officials want greater confidence that inflation is falling toward its 2% target. Rates are currently between 5.25% to 5.5%. NIO shares have surged 20% after it announced that it delivered roughly 15,600 vehicles last month, which is a nearly 135% year-over-year increase. The Chinese electric vehicle maker also revealed it has delivered around 45,000 vehicles so far this year, which is 21% higher than the same period a year earlier. Other Chinese EV makers, including XPeng and BYD, have also reported solid numbers for April deliveries. Futures are moderately higher following the Fed's meeting. That's your money now.
Gibbs Firearms is urging you to treat the mama bear in your life to something special. And not just any gift, but one that speaks to her primal instinct to safeguard her loved ones. A mama bear, fierce and protective, is always ensuring her cubs are safe. At Gibbs Firearms, they understand the mama bear effect better than anyone. Right now, when you purchase a firearm at Gibbs, you're automatically entered into their gun-toting mama's concealed carry purse raffle. Make this Mother's Day one to remember. Gibbs Firearms, at the corner of Blue Angel and Sereno Road, or online at gibbsfirearms.net.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your health care costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions Monday at 9 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
We were notified by TSA this morning that they'll be deploying eight of their officers that they move around the country in different situations based on need, and they'll be here next Sunday. So through July 27th, and want to give Congressman Gates and Senator Scott a lot of credit for that, for picking up the phone and answering the bell for us.
Yeah, we've got the strike team of TSA assistant intermediate laborers coming to help us take care of some of the staffing shortages for processing people through the airport, as you've heard the mayor talk about this a bunch. Yesterday, I had a good chance to talk with former NAS Whiting Field commanding officer and then assistant county administrator. I think there might have been a time when he was actually the county administrator briefly. I forget that. There were so many at this one point in history. Everybody sat in that chair for, it seemed like, 2 minutes or so. And then, of course, Matt Coughlin had been the airport director and the assistant airport director and became the airport director again, which is his current position. And we talked to him yesterday and actually kind of it's funny. We were talking about this before the show yesterday, and you know, Jimmy had asked me, "Is there any music I can play for Matt, who's a former naval aviator, flew helicopters in the Navy?" And I thought, "Oh, I know, we should play a little Apocalypse Now theme music." And Matt Coughlin, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing today?
I'm good. My producer Jimmy asked me what music to use for you, and I said, "Play Wagner. He'll get a chuckle out of that."
That's awesome.
As a former Hilo pilot yourself. Okay, so let's talk about this strike team. It sounds like this is kind of available labor force to do exactly what we're requesting be done, which is to staff up our TSA. Is that right?
Exactly. They call it a national deployment force. And
they do use the word force in it. That's great. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they actually, you know, they have TSOs, the security officers around the country that volunteer part of the program, and then they can deploy them when or where they're needed. And in our particular case, they're sending eight to us. The other thing we ask for, too, is we ask for the TSA to do kind of a optimization study on our queuing, our equipment, the teams there, just to make sure that their operation is operating as efficient as possible. And we'll go from there and hopefully see some positive results. You know, they're struggling with resourcing too, you know, and their employment, their force, their workforce. So, you know, it's a struggle for them. And that's one of the things we're seeing here. And we're not unique either. There's a lot of areas around the country that are suffering from this.
It's a temporary thing, right? I think, is it 2 months that they're going to be here? Is there of course, that's good during the high season for tourism. I like that. But is there a plan in place other than temporary bump and hopefully they do a study on our use of resources? I mean, what happens when they leave? We're back to where we are now?
No. So they're in the process of, they've increased their manning allotment for Pensacola.
Oh.
So they're in the process of hiring permanent employees to work here. So they're going to be increasing that. I don't have the exact number, but working with the federal security director, he notified me that they are hiring. They're pushing hard to hire folks. Again, they're having issues with their workforce. So, but they did get their authorization to hire more bodies here at Pensacola.
Oh, well, that's great news. Okay, so they've basically expanded the number of jobs that we're going to have, and now in the meantime, while we're trying to hire them, this is the temporary stopgap measure to kind of staff up, but not on a permanent basis. Okay, that makes sense. Is it an infrastructure need too? I mean, labor is part of the equation, and obviously new terminal, we're looking at that, working on that long term. But is there infrastructure need too, or is it really like just staffing should be adequate, other than what the study might reveal?
I believe if they're operating fully manned and their operation is efficient, then we don't have an infrastructure problem. However, obviously going there, we're getting days where we're getting, you know, anywhere from 5-6 in the summer, we expect to see 7,000 employments coming through there. And depending on, we try to work the schedules, depending on those schedules, you might get a compression of people coming through at a given time.
Sure.
Then it could be infrastructure. But I believe if we take care of the manning issues, the efficiency issues, their equipment issues that they have now and then, that we should be able to operate in a manner that's suitable for our customers.
I don't know the answer to this. I'm just guessing on what I think I know. But is this a problem also of the fact that you have high demand for TSA, primarily at certain times of day, primarily in the mornings. And so it's not a constant demand throughout the day because of where we stand in the overall interaction with other airports and how our flights are structured. Am I thinking right about that?
You are. So if you look at our schedule, so I get an hourly forecast every day down to the exact number of what they expect to see for passengers coming in the door. So those lanes, we have four lanes. We try to do 150 people an hour, say, through each lane. So that gives us efficiently, we can do about 600 if they're all manned, all operating. What you see sometimes, though, depending on the flight schedule, you may get a compression for a couple hours where you might see 700 needing to be screened. And that's when they have to be at the top of their game. Those times are typically in the early morning and around, and they change every day, but sure. I would say 10 to 2, oftentimes you'll see a compression around those time frames.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, if you're doing 7,000 emplanements a day, you know, roughly 10 hours of emplaning, let's say 700 is your max. I mean, I can start to see how the math works out that, you know, additional staff and an additional line, you know, theoretically might be needed at particular times, as you said. Very interesting. We're talking to Matt Coughlin. He is the airport director. Matt, one of the announcements that I think is either it's just pending. I think we've got a new airline coming, Breeze Airline, starting in June. Is that right?
Yeah, Breeze Airways starts June 28th, and we're going to have nonstop intra-Florida to Tampa. And then they add what they call a breeze-through flight. You can stay on the same airplane and go up to Norfolk. But that plane, when it comes to Pensacola, will be coming direct from Norfolk also. So it's kind of like I call it a round robin. Basically, Norfolk, Pensacola, Tampa, and then back up to Norfolk.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so you could just kind of get on and ride all day if you had that. It's like riding the bus or the train or something like that. Okay, so it's that constant circular route. That's interesting. I've not heard of other airlines doing that. Is that unique to them?
Yeah, they do. They coin it the breeze through. Every once in a while, you might be on the same aircraft.
So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question that one of the listeners asked me to ask, which is, on the one hand, we are having problems with TSA screenings. You know, we're having throughput problems. On the other hand, we're expanding routes, which is expanding demand and service. How can we do both at the same time? Who's the genius that decided in a stressed infrastructure situation to add more cars, basically?
Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, it's a balancing act. You know, we're charged with providing service and travel choices for the community. And we're going to do our best to get those choices here and options, different airlines, different routes. And at the same time, we have to balance that against, you know, our situation where we're stressed, both in parking and just throughput in the building. So we work, you know, there's things you can do to mitigate that, you know, whether it's work with the airlines on their schedules. Sometimes that doesn't work out too well because they have pretty much set schedules. But there's other things you can do, and that's really what we do. And the other thing we do is we always have projects going on. For example, to meet the parking issue, we've done a lot of shuffling of parking lots, moving employees just to add capacity in the short term. But in the longer term, July 1st, we're building a new lot. Give us about probably a 10% increase in capacity.
Oh, where's that lot going to be?
The thing about airports, that's going to be the former grass lot over there on Tippin.
Oh, so, you're actually going to pave that lot. Okay.
It's going to be paid. It's going to have revenue control equipment. So we're going to be adding 450 stalls over there. And that should, you know, that'll buy us some time. So the thing about airports is it's just a constant project. It's one project or another, and it's to meet that demand. So that kind of helps mitigate the issue that you bring up there.
Okay. And then the last question I wanted to ask you is, I know the mayor had said recently that we did not qualify for the federal grant for the new terminal, which is another part of expanding capacity, which would bring all kinds of things along with it. What does that mean? Does that mean that we've suffered a setback? Does that mean we're just not at the right point in the cycle? Is this money we could still get in a subsequent? I'm not sure quite what it means that we didn't get this grant.
We didn't get it, what I'd say, this time. So every year they offer this program. It's part of the bill funding. It's the airport terminal program, and there's a lot of money being pumped into it from the federal government. So we've applied for it a couple times now. We didn't get it. Probably one of the reasons is it depends how far you are in the design and you meet the requirements and whatnot. But there's two more cycles of this coming up too. We're going to be submitting this again in August. And so we're asking for about just north of $20 million. And so hopefully it'll look good to the FAA and they'll fund it. They know we have issues. Matter of fact, the airport district's office in Orlando has been very supportive. They're pushing it through themselves and they've been an advocate. So we feel pretty positive we'll eventually get it.
Okay, so it's not a no, it's a not yet, because there's a cycle and check marks, benchmarks you have to hit in order to qualify, and we just didn't quite get there this year, but we're hoping to get there for next year. Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. I know you got Building 3 is coming with ST Engineering Aerospace. It's good to hear that we're building more new parking. I think we'll find that as soon as we build it, we need more, as you well know. But it's good to hear some of the things that are going on at the airport. And, oh, I said one last thing, but this is just the escalators and the elevators all work right. Remember, this was an issue the last couple of years, but everything has been refurbished and rebuilt, and we're all good. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Back to my point about constant projects, and the escalators in particular were one of those. And it was uncomfortable because you try to do those projects while you're trying to maintain operations. It can be difficult. But to answer your question, they're working great, and they're brand new. They had to literally manufacture them in place due to the size of the building and framework and all that. But we haven't had any issues with them at all. I mean, they've been very, very reliable.
Very good. Matt Coughlin, he is the airport director for the Pensacola International Airport. Matt, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep our tourists and our business people and all the rest of us traveling safely through the airport, sir. I appreciate the work.
Thanks, Andrew. You have a great day.
Absolutely. 5:51 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, you know, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide what to do, is this the right time? You know, what's going on in the, you know, interest rates? What's going on with the availability? How is demand? What about, you know, in and out of school? That can sometimes affect, you know, if we're at the summertime versus the springtime, that can affect what you want to do. Or, you know, military change of station. Like, there's all kinds of factors that affect the local housing market that might be different from any other housing market anywhere in the country. And, of course, the folks at Levin Rinke Realty and Christina Lemworth, they understand those factors, and they can help you understand them. Because I know even us, you know, when we kind of, you know, discussed real estate things at home, we sometimes ask, well, would this matter? Would this matter? Well, you don't have to ask. I mean, you can ask, but they will know, and that's the point. You can talk about that with them because they're experts on that. Having sold 175 homes last year, they know. They know what's going on in that market, and they can help you figure out if now is the right time, or a month from now is better, or 6 months from now is better, whether you're selling or you're buying, what makes the best sense for you? 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
The number one goal at Gulf Breeze Natural Gas is safety. If you're one of their customers in Gulf Breeze or Pensacola Beach, here are three ways to detect. Smell, sight, sound. If you smell a rotten egg odor, see dead vegetation, or hear a hissing sound, call them immediately at 850-934-5108. You can also visit their website, gulfbreezenaturalgas.com, and click the safety page to learn more about natural gas safety. Gulf Breeze Natural Gas. Your style, your comfort, your energy.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House.
David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Can you count, suckers?
Oh, I went back and checked my terrible math. From earlier, remember I was talking about the $100,000 being reallocated within the city's funding plan for using the American Rescue Plan money, and you know, Charles Baird made the comment, "Want to give $100,000 back to the federal government, they will misuse it." And my comment had been, you know, well, the federal government coughs more than $100,000. I mean, you know, it's a nothing to them. And I think I had made the comment that 100,000 times 100,000 was a trillion. Well, apparently I forgot how to do math. No, but 100,000. Times 100,000 is actually only $10 billion, meaning 100,000 times over you could do this parks study, maintenance and infrastructure study, and you still wouldn't be able to buy an aircraft carrier. Just to, like, it's hard to wrap your brain around how big $1 billion really is. It's an enormous sum of money. But $1 billion in the federal budget is... well, I mean, you know, something. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. It's, I mean, even for somebody who's fairly adept at math, like me, most times, maybe not today, grasping the numbers involved in federal budgeting is, it's almost incomprehensible. They're just numbers and zeros and commas, and God only understands these things. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
With the threat of a TikTok ban looming, both Instagram and Twitch have introduced new short-form video features. This week, Instagram announced its discovery algorithm would boost smaller creators' videos through recommendations, and Twitch has also announced its discovery feed that'll let users endlessly scroll through videos and live streams.
Who's the who's your top three favorite new video game streamers that you discovered on the Twitch discovery alternative, David?
Cool. Wow, there's so many. I can't even pick just three. Yeah, 16,000 pounds of ground beef being recalled due to possible E. coli contamination. The USDA announced that the recalled beef had been shipped to Walmart stores nationwide. The affected beef is from Cargill Meat Solutions. You can find a list of the recalled products online.
It was yummy.
And hey, we've got an update on the UCLA situation here in just the last 20 minutes
or
so.
We're watching on Fox Live. Yeah,
right.
Go on. What do
you got? Yeah, there is live video on Fox right now. Officers have moved in on that camp. They're tearing it apart piece by piece. It didn't look like the protesters were really fighting back or anything, but I did see some tear gas. It looked like the protesters were standing back and booing the police. So,
Wait a minute. I know what it sounds like. Oh, what the? Dude, my computer just shut off.
No! Boo!
I can't even play you the clip. No, I like went to play it and I got a brief blue screen of death, and then now the computer's restarting. Well, that's fun.
Well, now me and Jimmy are just both going to boo your computer.
I know. Oh my God. I love this computer. It's brand new. That's a first. So we'll see what I get when I open it back up here. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, everything's gone. Cool. All right.
But no, this UCLA situation is just, it's very interesting.
Yeah,
this
I'm sure that the, you know, the radicals there, the happy protesters, the mostly peaceful protesters there, are just going to sit back and comply and welcome the police with open arms and say, I appreciate you serving and putting your health and risk at risk and getting up this early in the morning, leaving your family to come here and help enforce these laws that I've been breaking. So thank you. Thank you, sir. I think there'll be a lot of that going on.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Sounds about right. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. As I mentioned yesterday, the Methodists did go ahead and approve all of the things that we thought they would approve. There was one or two things that maybe aren't quite done yet, but they basically approved having gay clergy. They approved if a church wants to perform. They're not going to mandate that United Methodist churches perform gay weddings, but they are allowed to do so without the threat of sanction. And, you know, they are now basically saying that, see, we are now in line with, you know, the views that we've been expressing and fighting over for the last year. Yeah, it was on the consent agenda. It was a 95% vote in favor because the 95% that would have opposed it have now fled the denomination, right? You've had a massive denominational split within the United Methodist that all of those churches have left to go their own way. Not because they changed, but because the United Methodist Church, which is my base denomination when I was a kid, has changed its views.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.